Hey, White Sox fans, it's Brett Valentini. The Southside Sox podcasts are coming fast and furious here at the beginning of the season. We're already at podcast number 35. And welcoming back, I think this might be a first actual Southside Sox podcast. Can't say for sure. Would have to look in the archives. We are welcoming back. It's Darren Black, Darren Jackson, you know, hyphenate. We'll get the explanation one day.
Either or.
But welcome back, Darren. Darren's going to be doing a lot of our minor league coverage this year, assuming, knock on wood, we have a minor league season. But he's got an early jump on that in giving us sort of a rundown of the alternate site roster that's going to be playing in Schaumburg, technically overlapping pretty well with the future Charlotte Knights, if they actually get down to Charlotte to play, but perhaps not exactly. We'll mine down into some of the details there. We are recording on Friday. This is going to run over the weekend. So let's lead off, Darren, with the news of Friday and something we sort of knew was building, I guess, all week, and that is the Major League debut of Andrew Vaughn, who, in fact, tonight in Anaheim is going to be starting his first Major League game at a position he hasn't played in college or professionally, and that is left field. So please, no holds barred, give me your thoughts on Andrew Vaughn in left field.
I obviously the Eloy injury screwed up a ton, and they have to find the offense somewhere, because if they were going to keep Eloy in left, they obviously didn't care about the defense already out there. And it's hard to say if someone can be as bad as him out there, but he obviously hasn't played left. Definitely not in the professional career that he's the limited professional career he's had, but it's definitely something to keep an eye out. As long as he doesn't get injured by the stadium, I would consider it as a success. But I mean, he's there for the bat. So I'm for tonight's game or Friday night's game. I'm definitely more looking at the bat. Just maybe have Luis Robert play left center and center field at the same time, and Vaughn can kind of hide out there.
You know, at the same time, Tony La Russa has said that he expects, at worst, the baseman for Vaughn to be an above-average left fielder, which is interesting. He also, I think, has instructed Vaughn pretty much to play from wherever they're positioning him to the line, and Luis Robert takes everything else, which Luis Robert wants to do anyway. Now, if Vaughn can stick to that, and I guess a guy who's never played in left, who might be, I don't want to say tentative, but it is new to him, maybe that instruction is actually easier to take on than Eloy is taking it on, because clearly, though most of his mishaps have happened at the wall and in the net, so those are technically like his safe zones to cover, it doesn't seem like he has quite a spatial grasp of where he needs to play in left field the way that maybe Vaughn might actually be able to apply, this being a first-time experience for him.
Yeah, yeah, he should be more careful out there since he's not been out there before. I think that is fair to say. And I know when he was drafted, some people were saying he can also play third base, so he's a little bit more athletic than your normal first baseman. But it's still going to be different than anything else that he's done. At least since 2017. I'm not sure if he did it in college ever, because if he did in college, then maybe he has some experience with that.
Yeah,
but it'll definitely be something to watch.
Yeah, in Trevor Lyons' piece that we're running this weekend as well, he, I think, dug into it. He has never played outfield in college. I think he's confirmed he played outfield in high school, but he did not play at Cal either. So he doesn't have to have that to draw on. But yeah, maybe that is a positive. And if he has some adequate defensive instincts, I think it says something that he is open to doing this. Not that a rookie is necessarily going to pout and say no, but this guy is a blue chip pick, and he would have a right to push back and say, are you kidding me? Which is what many fans are reacting. Yeah. So the fact that he is sort of open, not just in necessarily in a take one for the team aspect, but you know, is open to it. Hopefully all that points to, as you say, no debilitating injuries. That's the minimum.
Yeah.
Don't take yourself out for the season.
Yeah. Versatility is the new thing that everybody needs to have. So it's at the very minimum, it's nice to see that he can play other positions, because there's a lot of guys on the team that can't really move out of their specified spot at the moment. Yeah,
that's for sure. The other curious roster choice for the major league roster before we get to the alt site would be keeping three catchers, which I think was something a lot of people were anticipating. It's just the three catchers they kept weren't necessarily names we expected. Yermín Mercedes made this roster right out of camp a year late, because you would have expected him to make it out of the truncated spring 2020. He didn't have a particularly good spring, although he did flash an arm and maybe ability to, I guess he found the arm that I think he brought to the organization.
Yeah, he's got a good arm.
His role is, well, I don't know what it is. So was that as curious to you, or do you see him being able to forge a little bit of time, or what the heck, it's just the 26th man?
Yeah, I'll say it this way. If Eloy stayed healthy, I don't think Yermín would have made the team. I think they just are trying to find bats, because they think they've got the pitching to keep, like last night with the loss 4-3. They think they have the pitching to keep them in each and every game. They just need the hitting to bring themselves up. So I don't think he would have made it. And I don't, I mean, to be honest, they really only have one defensive catcher currently. Because Zach Collins he's much better than what the experts said when he was drafted, but still obviously nowhere near Yasmani Grandal, and Seve Zavala still probably has a better game call than him. But they just got to find runs. So might as well just see if he's learned from his experience last season in the majors, Yermín, and see if he can actually adjust and actually put the barrel on the bat like he's been able to do in his minors career when he was circulating Twitter about every other day.
Yeah. I think he self-promotes. I think I have seen him self-promote before.
Yes, he does. He's got big guns on his arms.
The last roster spot actually did seem to come down to, well, all right, let's just call it the 25th, whatever. Maybe a Danny Mendick versus a Jake Lamb. Jake Lamb comes in and sort of takes that spot that could very well have gone to Mendick. I don't think there's any guarantee there. Is that along those lines of the big offensive thinking then too? Let's take a shot with Jake Lamb, who is, I guess the best case scenario is that he provides some nice punch, and Mendick, he gives versatility, but he's not going to give you any offensive punch.
Yeah, and Mendick's primary positions are in the middle, second and short. Jake Lamb can at least play third, and we know Yoan Moncada, though he like pushes through a lot of the nicks and knacks that he gets throughout a season, it seems like they're going to try to keep everybody healthy for this, obviously 60 games last season, now back to 162, so they just kind of have to go through all that. And I'm sure they're going to try to see if they can find that bat when he was an all-star back in 2017, but again, that hasn't really been there for him for a while. So if you want to call him the 26th man, I would call him the 26th man, because he's not as good as he used to be. But if he can find that bat, then maybe he actually takes the DH position if Collins and Mercedes don't step up like they haven't yet so far.
Is this a is any of the group among Billy Hamilton, Jake Lamb, and Mercedes, which one is most playing for his White Sox career when Adam Engel comes back? Because clearly there's going to be a move there. I guess the natural thought would be Hamilton. But who do you think is the one to go, assuming they all perform about what you'd think they would and nobody really distinguishes themselves?
Yeah. I would also agree Hamilton. Even though Engel has been a much better hitter, especially last season, sample size, you can regard or disregard. But he's obviously him and he's also got speed. So if you're looking for a late inning Andrew Vaughn, maybe you should get out of left field for the last couple innings, then Engel or Hamilton should take that spot pretty easily. So I would say Hamilton, but I'm not 100% sure, because he would have to be he would have to be sent down. I believe he would actually have to be waived. And I don't think anyone is claiming Billy Hamilton at this point in his career. I read earlier that he regards himself a bit more as Terrence Gore at this point, and I don't think he's as subpar a hitter as Terrence Gore, but he's definitely at that point in his career where he's defensive replacement speed guy.
Well, anybody might not be claiming Billy Hamilton, but Darren, we did. But that indicts the offseason, and we're not talking about the year. We are talking about the alt site. So some names that you highlight in the piece that you know, we can at least quickly address on the hitting side that we haven't already talked on are sort of the compatible, if you will, outfielders of Luis Gonzalez and Blake Rutherford. And you figure Luis maybe has a slight edge because he's actually played in the majors mm-hmm. before, but I'm curious to know if that is going to hold. Sebi Zavala as the catcher who can actually catch. And then Gavin Sheets, who I did like the fact that you highlighted that he lost 15 pounds to become a corner outfielder, but the organization wants to see the guy succeed, and apparently this is going to be the way for him to do it. So I'm curious your assessments maybe of those guys, maybe starting with sort of the Gonzalez versus Rutherford, because no one has distinguished themselves. The White Sox are just signing Cubans to eventually take the spots that are going to be vacated in the outfield and disregarding some of these so-called blue chips, where you can even throw a Mike Rodolfo in that group. So do you see anything coming out of that, or are they going to just troll the waiver wire for Billy Hamilton's of the world if there is another injury?
Yeah, well, I think they already proved that to us because they did patrol the world for Billy Hamilton's and gave a lot of at bats to Nicky Williams over spring. Yeah. But I just chose Gonzalez as instead of Rutherford as a more likely up, because when they did finally call people up last season, I mean, I don't think he played more than a handful of games. Luis Gonzalez did, but he was up there, and he did get a lot more time this spring than Blake Rutherford as well. And to go off on the Eloy spot as well, I think at this point, Gonzalez probably has a bit more punch in his bat than Rutherford. Not that much more, but Rutherford just not, even in his minors career, has just not shown the power that some might have expected when they got him from the Yankees during the rebuild. Gonzalez can play more of the outfield and is actually able to play center. So if, hopefully this does not happen, but if Luis Robert gets hurt, Luis Gonzalez probably comes up and then at least platoons that spot.
Is the thing that's interesting is Chris Getz last summer at the alt site was really hyping up Rutherford, pretty much second to Vaughn in terms of what he was showing offensively and some of the pop he was showing, but not that he got a chance to show it, but he flashed none of that in the spring. And that's the time you have to, you know, Vaughn in his first spring in 2020, along with Mercedes. I mean, those guys were like close to short Cactus League MVPs because both were playing deep into games and they were having quality at bats. We didn't see that from Rutherford even then. We didn't see it this year in spring training. And at some point you got to wonder if, you know, if Getz is just, you know, hyping the air because, you know, at some point we do have to see, he's still young, but at some point we have to see it.
Yeah. I would think he was just hyping the air. Cause I also saw a quote that said he's really doing well pulling the ball, like really hitting it hard, pulling the ball. And you're supposed to do that. You're supposed to hit it well when you pull it. So I think if anyone's playing for their White Sox career of the people we've mentioned, it's probably Blake Rutherford. Cause I could actually see teams claiming him, like a Tigers or Orioles, like those guys when the White Sox were claiming AJ Reed's of the world. Yeah. So that's just the way it goes. They had a fantastic outfield depth. The guys that deserved it are in the majors now, and the guys that didn't deserve it are still hovering at AAA.
We're talking with White Sox minor league watchdog, Darren Black. We're going to take a quick break and come right back, talk a little bit about the pitching side of the alt site, and I suppose the minor league, the major league roster as well. So hold tight for just a minute. Hey there, White Sox fans. It is Southside Sox podcast number 35, and I'm here with Darren Black, minor league expert on the site. We got a lot of people who write on the minors. We have Julie Brady taking, I think, two or three nights in the minor league update this year, and she always has an incredibly creative and bizarre take on the games that she's watching and experiencing. And Darren Black is going to be taking his share of regular game turns as well, including the weekly update of all the minor league affiliates and the monthly, so which also highlights some of the better players or some of the guys who are even disappointing that we're expecting more out of at each level. So that's something that hopefully once we get the season rolling in May, we're going to be able to look forward to that we've been away from for a couple of years. We've been away from Darren Black for a couple of years. So welcome back, Darren. Thank you.
I'm back.
All right. On the pitching side, there was a lot of consternation about this whole Nick Turley, Harvard-Westlake connection, of the Harvard-Westlake connection Turleys, versus Jose Ruiz for the last spot in the pen. Jose Ruiz won that. It seemed like a foregone conclusion that whoever was cut was going to be claimed on waivers and not make it to the alt site. And that turned out to be not true. Rick Hahn played some sort of hunch there. And during the chaotic time of all the cut down there right at the end of spring training, and did sneak Nick Turley through. And he is going to be, I guess, available to receive instruction that would have him throwing a few more strikes, because it seems like he's not able to do that at age 31. So were you surprised that Turley was not chosen for that last spot in the pen, and or does it even matter?
I was surprised just as so far as to say that they don't really have many lefties, not even just on their 26-man roster, but on the 40-man roster in general. Yeah. So that was my lone surprise. But I do know Evan Marshall's changeup is nasty against lefties, so maybe they're just going to use him more in that kind of role. Jay Spry wasn't moved to the 60-day, so I guess he might be coming back sooner than many of us thought. But that's basically my only surprise. I don't view one of them really much better than the other. Both throw hard, one from the left, one from the right. Jose Ruiz obviously is a bit younger, but not really much difference in terms of level there.
A guy I was impressed with, and this could have perhaps helped make the decision, and you mentioned him in your alt site piece, and that's Cody Medeiros, a guy who hasn't really shown much, a whole lot with the White Sox for fans to get excited about. But I think this spring he did. He showed that he could take on maybe a little bit of leverage. Again, spring stats, whatever, but they play the game, so you got to take something out of it. That might have given the White Sox a little more confidence, because as you point out in the piece, they have, and just said, they really have no lefty depth. Jacob Lindgren's a guy who's just like seemingly hung around for quite a while and didn't distinguish himself this spring. So Medeiros may have even leapt into the first lefty up. Bennett Souza didn't exactly show that maybe he was not quite ready for that much prime time. So Medeiros might be a guy who gave Hahn enough ease of mind to say, all right, if we do lose Turley, maybe this is a guy we could get if it gets to that.
Yeah, Cody Medeiros, we got him from Milwaukee. He used to be a starter. That didn't really work out, and so they moved him to the bullpen. And he was much better in the bullpen than he was as a starter. And you could see that in spring. He threw five innings, didn't allow a run. So if another person has to go in the 60-day because he's not on the 40-man roster, you could see him up, because that's really where their depth is lacking in the bullpen. It's a fantastic bullpen, but if something goes wrong with maybe Jay Spry, like, doesn't come, like, goes to the alternate site, has a setback, and they have to get somebody else ready with that, he could come up. He also obviously used to start, so he could be the long man, even though it seems like Kopech is going to be throwing two or three innings whenever he's out there in whatever role he's doing. But yeah, he definitely is a good option. But I mean, the lefties they have right now are so far and away better than anything else in their system. So I wouldn't be surprised if they go out at the deadline and search for another one, or just kind of see who's walking the street and sign them to see what they've got. But the righties in the bullpen they've got are pretty good.
Yeah. Knock on wood, no injuries, no performance problems. It comes down to Ruiz probably getting sent or attempted to be sent to the alternate site when Jay Spry is ready to come back. And then you've got your 13-man staff that's really about as good as you could have hoped it to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Once Jay Spry comes back, I expect Ruiz to go down, and then that's your playoff ready bullpen right there. And a really good one at that.
Let's talk a little bit, and this encompasses the alt site. Let's talk about starter depth, because the White Sox don't have it. And we are hoping for the very positive fumes that Dylan Cease threw out there, and certainly Carlos Rodon threw out there to significantly man that fourth and fifth spot, to the point where Rodon doesn't get hurt, so we get maybe close to a full year out of him. Cease, you know, sort of like surfs the wave and stays on the board. But okay, you know, there's clearly going to be injury. There's going to be a need for a breather for guys. Certainly Keuchel, I don't necessarily see him taking 32 starts, but at any rate, The depth or lack thereof. Clearly, Kopech might be called on for sort of a fake start where maybe goes 3-4. I suppose you could argue the same for Crochet, maybe 2-3. But then it's Ronaldo Lopez and it's Jonathan Stever and Bernardo Flores Jr. is now gone. Did that situation in losing Flores go from bad to worse for the Sox? Because they don't have starters. Am I wrong?
No, the starters that they have in their system that are ranked higher up, they're all 19, 20. They're not coming up this year. They aren't Garrett Crochet and really polished, have a really good pitch or really polished pitch. And so we're not probably seeing any of them. Jonathan Stever is the highest ranked guy, according to MLB.com, in the alt site. He's eighth in their top prospects list. He didn't look so hot when he came up last year, but he went from Winston-Salem, Birmingham, straight to Major League Baseball, which you only have so many Garrett Crochets and Chris Sales, so they can't always make that jump. But yeah, if someone gets hurt in the starting rotation and they don't think Kopech's ready to take that spot, it's probably Reynaldo Lopez up again to start however many games they need. Which I don't know how most people feel about that, but they traded Dane Dunning for Lance Lynn. So that's what happens.
Yeah.
Just signing a guy.
That's true. Yeah. Good point. Again, sort of dipping into an off-season podcast, which unfortunately we didn't do together, Darren, and could have. Okay. All right. So starter depth rough. And yeah, it's sort of like, those are going to be the games we're really going to have to hit, apparently, if Ronaldo's up there, mm-hmm. because, you know, you hope for the best and you hope he comes back. You hope last year he came back from the site. I remember hearing talk about from Ricky and everyone that, you know, he sort of needed that wake up call. He took it on the chin. It was a maturity move for him. He came back and I think he did have an appearance that was all right. And then it was sort of still the same Ronaldo Lopez. And obviously in the spring, similar thing happened, had one really mm-hmm. nice start. The White Sox threw out that video that got hyped where it's like, hey, we got your curveball back, mm-hmm. Ronaldo. And Ronaldo's talking like, yeah, I'm feeling good. And the catcher, man, it was Luke Roy. I don't know. It was like, man, your stuff is great. They can't touch you. And then pretty much, I guess that was a kiss of death because then, you know, his appearances from there were lousy. Do you see anything in Ronaldo? I mean, you've studied him very closely and at a time where there was a lot more reason for hope for Ronaldo Lopez. Do you see anything in him that should give us reason for hope that this guy can still be a contributor for the White Sox, even if it came out of the pen? Or do you think it's going to have to be somewhere other than the South Side?
I think at this point, what's best for him is to just find another team. Obviously, he doesn't have control over that right now because of how MLB contracts are structured. But if anything, they should at least try him in the bullpen. If they didn't have such a great bullpen right now, I think he'd be there already because he could just kind of use his fastball, curveball, / slider really well in that sort of instance. But I can't – once – it happens with every pitcher, but to a lesser extent, the really good ones, when they go second, third time through the order, he just throws his fastball so straight and his curveball isn't consistent enough that it's just much easier once you already see it in a game to just hit it. So at spot starts, I think he'll be fine. I think as a, I guess, technically seventh starter on the team, I think that's fine. It's just after that, it gets kind of more iffy.
Give me your gut take on their thinking with Ronaldo. The company line was, we don't want to mess around with him as a reliever yet. We want to keep him stretched out. And I understand the back of the White Sox heads has to be, well, we may actually need a starter. So we need somebody stretched out. Is that just the company line, or is it a matter of we need to sort of get this guy out of here? We need to get him out of this clubhouse. We need to get him back in the Schaumburg space where he can just try to reset himself.
I think he does need to reset himself in general. So Dylan Cease, this is his third go around with the Sox in a season, but he's never pitched a full major league season. Michael Kopech has never pitched a full major league season. Obviously Garrett Crochet, same thing. But they just have a lot of starters that just have not pitched full major league seasons. So that's why Reynaldo Lopez's best spot for the White Sox team is that starter when Dylan Cease maybe loses a mile or two come August, or if Kopech isn't built up right by August, something like that, then he can at least step up and get some innings. And then if they make the playoffs, then it's obviously their top four guys, and then that's it. But he's definitely not a starter because he should be. He's a starter because they need him to be.
This is going to be a bit of a gumball in a jar guess question for you, Darren. But the White Sox added no starting pitchers this year. They signed no starting pitchers this year. Technically, they didn't even add a pitcher because the trade they made was for a guy who was going to be in their mix, and Dane Dunning, for a better pitcher in the mix at this moment, Lance Lynn. Roughly how many pitchers out there, whether by trade or signing, would you have said the White Sox could have or should have added to this current mix of starting pitching?
Yeah, well, assuming they still trade for Lance Lynn, I would have signed one more arm, and maybe, because at some point, if you aren't going to be in the starting five, you'll go to Detroit or Baltimore to actually prove your worth, so you get paid in the following offseason. So I don't knock them that much for that, but they definitely should have signed more guys, because like Mike Wright and Alex McRae, if anybody actually knows who they are, they also have major league starting experience. But they, if they're starting a game, then don't bet on it.
And to your point of, the guys are going to go and they're going to want major league reps so they can play their way into a contract that's just not a 1 year to 1 year to 1 year. But there are also those guys who are maybe further along in their career, and okay, they've lost their effectiveness. Say the Gio Gonzalez type, and that didn't work out last year. But there is a definite segment of pitchers out there who are going to not only, okay, they're going to jump at a job, but oh, let's say they don't have to jump at a job. Maybe they got three offers out there, and they are going to choose the White Sox over Detroit, even if it's not necessarily fully guaranteed, because you're going to want to play with a team that has a chance to go somewhere. The White Sox have tried to battle themselves into this position where they can be attractive to a team, to a player who says, hey, listen, I want to be with this team, not just with the opportunity you can offer. The Sox have had opportunities to burn for basically a decade now. So it is unfortunate they couldn't turn maybe one of those guys. I'm guessing there was one out there who would have said, oh, hey, you know what? I just want to be part of this. You know, again, a Geo-type situation, where then even if that person is willingly at the alt site now, they know they're the first guy up, maybe a Clayton Richard that they tried to, pull last year. Mm-hmm. He was the insurance guy. Just to have somebody there where, what if Ronaldo is not putting it together at the alt site? That's certainly not beyond comprehension. What if Rutherford is taking him 400 feet? If that's the case, holy cow. I mean,
yeah, I mean, that'd be a huge difference if those guys showed in April. Obviously, they are playing games this year, unlike last year. I don't know if they'll be televised or not, but if you start seeing that and they start hyping up some people, that'd be great. But it's also just that starter depth that we all expected they would have in 2016 just didn't really materialize. Like, some guys are gone. Jimmy Lambert is always hurt, so we don't really know. Jonathan Stever was moving up the chain, but obviously the pandemic season kind of ruined that. Cade McClure also had an injury. Connor Pilkington hasn't looked as good as we wanted. And obviously Cody Medeiros is in the bullpen now. So it's just that depth isn't where it was, or where it should have been, really.
Yeah, not to harp on it too much, not to be negative. And, I know all of Sox fandom is some of Sox fandom has erupted because they lost a game. They lost the opener. Still, we're talking Friday, let's not panic, but seriously though, again, not to be negative, because this is a great team and this team can definitely aspire to the playoffs.
Starting 26 is really good.
Absolutely. But if there is any sort of significant issue, even with performance, not to mention injury, there is going to be panic in the streets, because there isn't anybody. So if the anybody is Ronaldo Lopez, okay, well, that's going to trigger panic. You can't just snap your fingers and make a deal, or you think the White Sox have already done that, or they're going to be over a barrel. You just don't like to see your team that thin. And again, it's not being negative about it. Yes, if there is no problem at all and everybody gets their 32 starts, wonderful. This team's going to win the World Series.
That'd be great.
It's not going to happen. And that's the thing you'd think that a front office needs to prepare for, but okay, we're getting into off season stuff. So let's, let's just chat quickly here about, I guess, the battle between, if there needed to be a short man, right-armed a right-handed short man. It looks like it's coming down to Zach Birdie, who did not have a good spring and really didn't have a good audition, aside from maybe his very first outing with the White Sox last year. And Tyler Johnson, who it seemed to get some whispers that he might have been that 13th man. I'm not sure where that was coming from, whether it was TJ's reps or what, but it did seem to be like he was more on the short list for that spot than maybe even Birdie. How do you look at that if the need arrives, or do they necessarily have to go for a righty to come up if somebody needs a blow?
Yeah. I mean, again, it depending on who gets hurt, it could very well just be Reynaldo Lopez is the first pitcher up no matter what. Unless it's a lefty, then you look for the actual lefty. But in terms of Johnson and Birdie, I've been a Johnson guy for a while. He has really moved up the chain. His rookie season, he walked a bunch of people. He fixed that problem. He's still striking out a lot more than a guy per nine. The only reason why I don't think he was up in 2020 or quite frankly, even 2019 is because he got hurt spring 2019. So he's just working. He was working back from that. Then obviously no minor league season last year. But if they're looking to make a big splash and just see what their top guys have, it should be Tyler Johnson, because Zach Birdie, since his Tommy John surgery, just hasn't been the same. He still throws it pretty hard. But I don't think he's throwing it 99-100 like he was. And his breaking stuff just hasn't been able to translate to the higher levels that he's pitching at. I mean, that could obviously change because he hasn't pitched a ton because he's been hurt and is usually hurt. But Tyler Johnson should be the guy that has the inside track if someone a little bit more important like Liam Hendricks gets hurt. And then you have to find another potential late inning guy.
Yeah, I'm with you on Tyler. Maybe that's just because I've been reading you for so long, but I think he's really gotten, he gets sort of a hard rap. I think he gets lost in sort of these righty arms, and I don't think he deserves that. There are guys who have sort of had their shot, or maybe injury has given trouble. And obviously Johnson's run into the same situation, but he hasn't really gotten the chance that some of the other guys have. I think he still should more highly regarded than I guess he really is on the White Sox.
Yeah, and I'm on MLB.com. I think Jimmy Lambert is back to being a starter, so Tyler Johnson is the highest rated reliever that they have. He just really got hurt at the wrong time, and obviously not his fault with the pandemic and no other minor league season, but he looked like he was going to be on the team in 2019.
Let's talk about a few guys, or guys who are not at least listed as of now as being at the alt site. The first one would be Nick Williams, which I believe you speculated before we went on, would indicate that he has opted for free agency when the White Sox chose Billy Hamilton over him, despite having, I think, a pretty decent spring and doing about the best he could have with the opportunity. Is that something the White Sox regret? They must have known what was going to happen if they cut Williams. I don't think that would have come as a surprise to the team. Does the decision, what is the thinking behind the decision of Hamilton over Nick Williams?
If it's just that binary choice, it should have been Nick Williams. But I think they like the defensibility from Billy Hamilton a bit more. And they like the Collins Mercedes roster flexibility because they still have options. Yeah. So if they need to be sent down, they'll be sent down. No one can claim them. If Nick Williams is up, does well, and they have to send him down, somebody's probably going to claim him. So it probably just comes down to roster flexibility. But yeah, I think he had over 800 OPS in spring training. Obviously, I remember Jacob May. He had a great spring, didn't work out, but he really looked good. He looked better than a lot of the guys we've already been talking about, like Rutherford and Luis Gonzalez. Yeah. So I thought he was going to make the team. Obviously he didn't. And yeah, he's not on the alternate site. I'm not sure if he just, if the Sox just don't have him on the alternate site and officially optioned him to Charlotte or Birmingham or something like that, or if he did decide to go to free agency. But I would have preferred to have him than Billy Hamilton, because at least he can pinch hit and maybe get you a run in a spot that you need.
Well, Nick, if this podcast helps keep you with the White Sox, please reconsider. Please go to the alternate site because we could use you. You did impress. Other names that are a little surprising to you that maybe aren't showing up as of yet, at least, on the alternate site, with the caveat that it's likely means that they're probably at Camelback as sort of starting phase two of spring training.
Yeah, I thought they would give Jake Berger and Mike Rodolfo, both guys that were at the alternate site last season, at least because they have the 40-man roster flexibility. Yeah. So if they need to go up, they can. Obviously, in Jake Berger's case, it's a much more serious because he hasn't played in a meaningful game since 2017. Mike Rodolfo is just 2019, but it's still years since they've hit. So maybe they're just thinking, okay, just go to mini camp. Or wherever they are, and just kind of work on getting up to speed for a full entire season for the first time in years. But I think if I'm looking at the hitters they have, I like Gavin Sheets a bit. But if I want to see if my former top prospects really have something, I would love to see if Mike Rodolfo got a shot. Even in a DH spot, if Yermín Mercedes and Zach Collins aren't really taking the role. But a bit of a surprise there. They clearly don't see them as major league options, this at least this early on. Just looking at the roster, it's guys that can actually play right away. And they obviously don't think they can play right away.
Darren, you're going to be doing a fair bit of minor league coverage for us this year, providing it gets going. The schedule has been adjusted so that basically it's just a week of games in one place, very routine days off. I'm guessing anything that's postponed, there's not going to probably be any doubleheaders, certainly not makeup games. So how quickly do you think you will have memorized the entire Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp roster?
No, the amount of times they play the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimps is really, it's really concerning. But I also miss the Great Falls Voyagers, so there's at least one fewer whole entire league to memorize, so maybe it won't be that bad.
Yeah, that's true. Rest in peace, Great Falls. Still playing, but unfortunately no longer affiliated. The entire league has gone away in the consolidation, which is a drag, I suppose, on the very difficult nights where there's 8 or 9 games to cover later in the summer. I guess it will be a relief not to have
Dominican
the Pioneer
and
League.
Arizona, yeah.
But what makes it easier does ultimately provide a loss to the White Sox and system, because I would figure that you would just want more teams and more players, not fewer teams and fewer players. But
yeah,
I'm not running Major League Baseball. So
we digress.
Okay, so I think we have covered what we need to on the alt site piece. It is very good to have you back on site writing and involved in these podcasts as well. Perhaps we'll try to do something that maybe coincides with maybe your monthly update this year, to just devote a podcast to that, or of course throwing in on the major league team as well. I'm not trying to just pigeonhole you as a minor league guy, because you've done tons of game coverage, et cetera, for us there. So
all those old minor leaguers are on the majors now.
Exactly. Come on. You've got all the skinny, you know, them like the back of your thumb. All right. Well, Darren, thanks for getting back on and joining us, other than draft night last year.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've seen you. So welcome back, and welcome back to where we originally worked together. SB Nation through the world tour we've taken.
That's also been a whirlwind.
So thanks for hopping on, and guys, really, I know we're very focused on the major league team, and it's a very, very exciting season, and the system takes, I guess, less importance as the major league team in that top 26 gets better and better. But there's still a lot of fun that's going to be going down on the farm, a lot of guys to watch, because they're going to be players up in the major league team. There are going to be spots. It seems very clear, especially in the rotation, but you know, there is good stuff to come. Darren's going to be covering that for us, and certainly weighing in on the major leagues as well. That'll get rolling, you know, with any luck at all, about a month from now. And we will probably be checking in with Darren on site, and maybe even via podcast, based on what's going on at the alternate site, because I think we're going to want to report on that and keep people updated on
especially
what's going
with
on
the
there.
Games.
We got to keep Chris Getz honest if he keeps trying to sneak it past us that Blake Rutherford is knocking them off of the scoreboard, when really maybe he isn't. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe those are Super Bowl scrimmages. I don't know. But
2019 baseball ball.
Yeah, right. So thanks everybody for having this interest. We are devoted very much so, I would say, more than any other site, to giving some really, really detailed and fun insight on all the minor league affiliates. And Darren's a big part of that. So appreciate your support there and your interest. I just got through a 100 prospect countdown. Nobody else does that. And you know, I appreciate the folks say, hey, this is interesting. You know, maybe you think it wouldn't be, but these guys all deserve a little bit of shine and we're trying to give it to them. So thanks for reading, watching, as always, and listening. We will probably be back with you sooner than I even think with another podcast. But for Darren Black, this is Brett Valentini. Thank you for listening.